Happy 4th of July weekend. Anybody stay up late doing fireworks? Yeah? Anybody stay up late because their neighbor was doing fireworks? God forgive them for their sins. I'm not a big firework guy, but I know some are, and some are, I think, a little bit too pyromaniac, but if you'll notice here on our blue things we had made here, you'll notice we're moving to the fitness app today, and the fitness app is clearly a picture of me, so that's good. Got to resemble what I talk about. Our passage today, if you want to be there, and there's an insert within your bulletins, and all of the information, there's no fill in the blanks, because this is a holiday weekend, we don't need to do any extra work. But take it home with you, if you would, and look at some of these things, because there are ways in which we can be spiritually fit. But this is what 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 says. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That last part is often what we don't think about, that life to come, not just for present life. It doesn't just make life easier here if we're trained to be godly, if we're spiritually fit, but it prepares us for eternity, where physical life doesn't necessarily, even if we're physically fit, it doesn't necessarily train us to be able to deal with what might come our way in this world that we live in that's not our home. And it certainly won't prepare us for what comes later in the life to come. How many of you guys got a treadmill that serves as a second closet? Anybody? Yeah, I think most of us probably do that. To say that our nation, though, is caught up in a fitness or workout craze would probably be an understatement. It's a multi-billion dollar business. Some of you guys work out, exercise. A lot of shy people or a lot of lazy people, I'm not sure which. Lots of people do this. I wanted to share with you some of the, and some of this will bring back memories perhaps for you, some of the ways in which we've gone through some of this working out. Perhaps you've tried this, the Moby Revolving Hammock. Anybody try that one? How about the Reduce Your Flesh Medicated Rubber Garments? We probably don't want to, that's a group that meets later in the back of the building. We've got these magnetic things that you stick to you. I'm not sure about that either. All true stuff that people have used to be physically fit. I don't know what this one is. What's this one? Yeah, I don't know. We'll just skip that one. These are some of our women of faith and secret sisters working out here. This is Roger. I went to his house yesterday for a barbecue, and he was getting himself ready. The fat reducer, look at that thing. You just put a little something on there, and that's it. Yeah, more of our secret sisters Monday night right after Bunko. Anybody try that? You ain't going to admit it, are you? You tried that, Roger? What? Nice. And then this is the one I like. This is the one I use because I got so many kids, so I can do this one. You know, there's the baby kettlebell and the baby medicine ball. Don't even have to buy any weights or anything. You can just work out and get physically fit right there. There's the extra ball, extra dial. You got that. You got all these things. These are Marty. These are Marty when he was just a kid working out a lot of these here. Old-fashioned, really old-school workout equipment. This one, you just stand there and you just, I don't know, just massages fat right away. It's just nothing to this stuff. And then this guy, I'm not really sure what this is about, but it doesn't look good. That's probably another group that meets in the back on a different day. This is actually from Kellogg's, a Kellogg's electric chair. Yeah, that looks fun. And then there's the original exercise bike. If you take a close look, that thing's a classic there. And then you've got these. The trim cycles came out. They're pretty fancy, his and hers. You know, you can work out together, keep fit, and stay trim. And then there's these old belt things that we looked at. And then there's this is from Kellogg's, too, the roller thingy. Some of you guys probably remember that. Maybe in the Penny's catalog along with this, the $139.99 will get you, you know, that. You might have had that in your home, or your mom might have had that in her home. Then there's the claw, you know, because everybody needs to do that for some reason, just in just in case the lid's too tight on the jar. You know, you, honey, can you get this open just a minute? I got to get out this thing. Oh, yeah. All kinds of working out together. Oh, yeah, the sauna suit. Anybody have the sauna suit? Just sweat the pounds away? Oh, and the treadmill. Everybody ought to have one of those, right? That's fitting, though, in the world we live in, right? That's kind of how it feels some days, doesn't it? And then there's the tummy trimmer. Everybody have that. And then there's these things here. The Snuggie's gone bad. They blow up, and I guess you sweat, and they stick to you, and I guess somehow that compresses, and I just don't know what that does. But, you know, this thing here, whatever that is, the Wonder Lounger. I think I have one of those, but it's called a recliner. The Twist and Tone, yeah, that's a good one. And this thing, you've probably seen this, and this thing's still around. You'll still see this at garage sales and things like that. And this thing here, I don't know what that is either, but the Shake Weight, that was a newer one. The Shake Weight came out. Like, somehow if we just shook it, it would somehow make us rip. I'm not really sure how that worked either. And then there's this thing, this tub that you can exercise or bicycle ride in. At the same time, I guess you're taking a jacuzzi. I'm not really sure. But I want to look at some of the gurus for just a minute, some of the workout gurus, because it's a big business. And there's lots of them out there from the olden days till now. Is there anybody who wants to play a little game for an appetizer on naming that physical, that workout guru? Come on up. I'm going to put a picture on the screen, and you're going to tell me who that is. I need somebody to compete against Don. Who knows their workout gurus? Come on. It's going to be you, Ryan. Oh. Some of these I don't even know, so you guys are going to have to tell me if they're right on the guess or not. Seriously. Becky put these together. Okay, Don, you come over here. No, Charles, you come over here. I'll let you be by Ryan so he can coach you here. And you look at that screen there, and Don, you come over and look at that screen there. I'm going to show you a picture of a popular, or might have been an old popular, might be a current popular workout person. And the first person, you guys tell me who says it first, who shouts out that person. It could be first or last or both. Here you go. Okay, right over here. It's 1-0. Charles is like, who's that? That's what I thought too, right? Here we go. You guys ready? Yeah, right here. Jillian Michaels. All right, we're 1-1. She's pretty. She's on a show like, yeah, there you go. Biggest Loser all time. Yeah, Tybo. Yeah. Billy Blanks. We'll take that. 2-1. Oh, yeah. 3-1. Come on, Don. That's your guy right there. That poster's in Roger's office. All right, 3-1. Ready? I don't know his name either, so don't ask me. But he's with the other guy, other lady on The Biggest Loser. That I know. No one knows that one? All right, we'll skip it. What? Yes, we have a, don't have a winner. Next, okay, you guys ready? Here we go, still 3-1. Yeah, nice, woo, 4-1. Denise Austin, you remember her? No? Here we go. Oh, I got his stuff. Do you know his name? Tony Little, right? Okay, you guys ready? You're getting whooped pretty good over here. Oh, no, that's not supposed to be up there. It's supposed to be that one. It's supposed to be that one. Who put that up there? Looks like Ben Roethlisberger. Who put that up there? All right, here you go, Charles. Nicely done. Thanks for playing the workout guru game with us today. Have a little fun. It is a big deal. Spiritual fitness is a really big, physical fitness is a really big deal. Billions and billions of dollars, lots of time put into it. And yet when we pause to think about our spiritual fitness, we think, how much time, how much money do we really spend in causing ourselves, helping ourselves be spiritually fit. In other words, ready for that which comes about in our lives. Difficulty, adversity, loss of a loved one, you know, cancer, some bad, you know, bad situation arises. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we get ourselves in a spiritual condition so that we can deal with some of those things that are inevitable? Well, there's lots of different things, and I want to look at them in three different ways. I want to look at some inward exercises, because really, physical fitness is all about exercise. You know, you eat right, and you get good sleep, and you work out your cardio, and you do these kinds of things. Well, our spiritual fitness is really similar. We got to do some inward stuff, we got to do some outward stuff, and then we got to do some stuff with one another in order for us to really be spiritually fit. So let's take a look at some of these things. The first one is meditation. This is all inward exercises that you and I got to do. You see, we can't do meditation for one another. You have to do that yourself. So when I say meditation, I'm not talking about the guy sitting with his legs crossed and doing the whatever he's doing, you know. And that's not to knock that guy that does that. That might be good for him. What I'm talking about with meditation, though, is what God's word says, to meditate on him. Meditate on his goodness. Meditate on what he's done for you. Do you ever just pause and think about what the Lord has done? Think about your kids and your grandkids. Think about your home and, you know, the life that he's provided you, all of which you don't deserve. Think about everything. I sit in my office sometimes, I look out my window, and I just ponder those things. Not the bad things, but the good things. And all the things that he's got me through when I probably shouldn't have got through them. That's meditation. That's thinking about what the Lord has done. Mulling it over. It says in the Bible, pondering it in your heart or in your mind. That's what Mary did when she found she was pregnant to have a child. She pondered these things in her heart. And I think that's what you and I need to do. That's where it starts. It's an internal exercise that we do that helps get us spiritually fit, is to meditate, to think on the things in which God has done for us. The second thing is prayer. We have to pray. That's how we communicate with God. That's our form of speaking to him. And don't overcomplicate prayer. Prayer is no different than when you sit and talk to your spouse, or you talk to your child, or you talk to your friend. It's just a matter of communicating. You can do it in the car as you're driving along. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes. It's probably better if you don't. You just talk to the Lord. Just tell him about what's going on. Hey, God, I'm going to this job. I really don't want to do this job, but give me the strength to do this job, and you know, help me be a good witness on this job site. Da da da. You just normal stuff. Don't overcomplicate it. You don't have to be super spiritual. I mean, if you want to learn spiritual words and deepen your prayer life, get into the Psalms. Psalms has a lot of help to do that, but you don't got to do that. You know, you just kind of sit there and talk to someone, you know, a best buddy, you know, maybe of our pop watching the game. That's the kind of thing you can do with the Lord. Just speak to him about, gosh, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that, and, you know, will you help me here, and, you know, I hope I do well here to bring you glory, and, you know, it's just a conversation that you have. Don't allow fear or the bigness of it all to cause you to not do it at all. Just get into it. Just jump into it. Spend some time in prayer. The third one is fasting. Fasting is not something that you can do for me or I can do for you. That's something that we have to do ourselves. Now, fasting, people think of that as food. It can be food, absolutely. You can choose to fast for a day. Jesus fasted for 40 days. I don't know about that action. But, you know, we can choose to fast for a period just to kind of get in touch with the Lord. It speaks to him and says, you know, I'm going to do this so that I can experience what you want for me. But you can fast from other things. You could fast from Facebook. That might be a real challenge for some people. You could fast from the internet, period. For a period, that might be good for you. You could fast from television. You could fast from alcohol. You could fast from cigarettes. You could fast from a lot of different things and just say, you know what, I'm going to go through a period here where I really need the Lord to speak to me. I really need to hear what he has for me in this decision I need to make next week. So I'm going to fast. I'm going to give this and this and up, and I'm going to seek his word. And he honors stuff like that. It's throughout Scripture because it's you making a commitment, doing something with your life to seek him out. And every time when we seek, we will find. He says that in his word. You need wisdom? Ask for it. Need guidance? Ask me. He's there to lead us. So fasting is another thing. It's an internal exercise. It's only something that you can do, and it's done on the inside. Study, same way. I can read my Bible every day. It doesn't help you a bit. You got to read the Bible. You got to be in the Word. You got to study what his Word says. You've got to get that into your system, no different than you would healthy food, no different than you would proper sleep, no different than you would do all these other things yourself, because I can't do them for you. You have to do those things. Look at some of the ways the Bible speaks of study or the Word of God. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's not just bread we live on. I know that's shocking for us guys because we were like the food thing, but the Word of God is every bit as important in our lives. Look at the way it says in Jeremiah. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. They were joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name. Are the words of the Lord that important to you that you consume them and they bring you great pleasure because you bear his name? Look what it says in Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. All this about consuming the word of God. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that how you consider study? Is that how you look at opening up the Word of God and getting into it? Does it mean that much to you? I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. We have to meditate. We have to pray. We have to fast if that's something you want to do. We have to study the Word of God. We, meaning individually, it has to be done by you. That is an internal exercise. Now to the external exercises that we can do. Oh, first the point. Spiritual fitness requires proper spiritual nutrition. We have to take in those elements in our life, the study, the prayer, the fasting, the meditating, because that's what gets us fit. Now the external, if you will. Simplicity. How many of you could benefit in your life from simplicity? How many of you have too much stuff going on, too much stuff you shouldn't be doing? Am I the only one? Simplicity. Simplicity. This is an outward action coming from those inward exercises we did of meditation and prayer and fasting and things like that. From that flows a desire for simplicity, to recognize that God is good, that he's in control, that we need to serve him. Simplicity. Change the things in your life that you need to change. Do things differently so that your life is not so complicated, not so difficult. Because what that complexity does is it usually elbows out your time with God. It elbows out your time at church. It elbows out your fellowship with other believers. That's what happens if you don't be careful of your life and keep it simple. The second thing is solitude. Jesus often went out on his own onto a mountain and spent time with his Father. It's very important that you and I get solitude, whether it's your backyard, whether it's getting on your motorcycle, whether it's riding your bicycle, whether it's taking a walk around the block, whether it's going on top of a mountain, whether it's going out in the boat fishing, whatever that is for you, solitude is needed. We live in a busy, loud, crazy world, and solitude is something we need to actually go and do externally. We need to go and find that place because the noise won't leave us automatically. We need to go and do that. Seek out that solitude so that you can spend time with God. Submission. Submission is, this isn't about a husband and wife thing, so don't get geeked up about it. Submission, this is about being properly submissive to the proper people. And that starts with submission to the Lord's will and his word. Does my life look like that externally? Am I living that out? Because to be spiritually fit, to be spiritually healthy, it's not a matter of lifting weights or going on that diet. It's a matter of following the Lord's will and being obedient to his word. Submitting to that, is that something you're doing? If that's not something you're doing, you're probably finding yourself struggling in a spiritual fashion. Sacrifice. This should be external as well. This should be something lived out because of your inside time with the Lord. Sacrifice is what can you do differently in your life, maybe that would make a difference for the kingdom or someone else? What can you give up? Do you live your life sacrificially? Or do you live it for whatever you want? Do you ever give anything up on a given day? Like, today I know I usually get this $3.50 coffee. Today I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to give it to a poor organization, or I'm going to give it to a random person on the street that looks like they need it. Living sacrificially. See, you and I don't do that very well because we have a lot. And there's so many ways that we can do, in just simple ways, that we can live sacrificially. We don't need 8 cars. We don't need 5 homes. We don't need some of these things. But even keeping it simple, we don't need fries with that, or we don't need a lot to supersize it, or we don't need to anything that you can do to live sacrificially. It's really not even sacrificing much, but you can take that then, whatever you were going to spend or do, and make a difference for somebody else. That's sacrificial living. That's thinking of others other than yourself with your time you spend. You could sacrifice your time. How many of you sacrifice your time for the Lord, whether it be in the church, whether it be in serving him somewhere? Sacrificial, meaning it hurts a little bit, meaning it costs something, meaning it gets in the way, sort of, meaning it's not always comfortable. It's not always what I want to do, but it's coming out from me because of the internal things in my meditation, my prayer, my study, my fasting. The Lord has moved in my heart to live this way, to live in a way that's sacrificial. And service, serving the Lord, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be under your own roof with your spouse, who are you serving? How are you serving? We were called not to serve one another, to be there for one another, to do that. Is your life a life of service? This is what it should model, and this is what it should look like. The point to these external exercises, internal, these are the external, is this. Spiritual fitness requires regular spiritual exercise. Just as we have to work out regularly, just as we have to, you know, they say you have to walk 30 minutes or whatever, 30, 40 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, a week or whatever, to get that physical. You have to do that on a regular basis to get the results. The same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual fitness. We need to do these things on a regular basis. Live sacrificially. Live in service. Live in submission to the Lord. How am I doing with that? That will answer how spiritually fit you are. Take the time and the trouble to stay spiritually fit. It actually says that in the Phillips translation. If you look at that 1 Timothy 4:7-8 that we looked at to begin with, which I use the NIV, but if you look at the Phillips translation, that's actually the wording that's used in it, and it's pretty cool. Take the time and the trouble, because it will be time and trouble to stay spiritually fit. Now, here's the one another. Here's the things that we need one another for. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to wrap up here in a minute. This first one is confession. We're not very good at that. We don't really like that, because that means we're vulnerable. That means we open ourselves up to ridicule. That means we open ourselves up to judgment. But confession is cleansing. And if there's one thing that you and I need to be spiritually fit, it's to be spiritually cleansed by the Lord. It just has to start there. We have to have that spiritual awakening, that cleansing from our Lord. Confession is something we need someone else to do. You see, I can sit in my living room and confess all kinds of things, but there's power in finding a trusted brother or sister or a small group and telling them what your struggles are and where your failures are. There's accountability in that. There's discipline that comes out of that that cannot happen on your own. And that's how God wants us to be spiritually fit, is he wants us to come to the point of confession with each other. I stink at this. I'm struggling with that. And get people praying for you, coming alongside of you, encouraging you, working with you. Trusted people, mind you. You have to be careful. They have to be brothers and sisters in Christ, because you have to be careful you share that with them. Otherwise, it'll be, you know, perhaps a big train wreck. But we have to confess. We have to share confession. It's cleansing to the soul to get that stuff out. The second one is this: worship. We got to worship in a corporate way. It's great to see others lift their hands and praise, and you know, to close their eyes and just to, you know, it's an incredibly powerful thing to see that happen. But we don't just do that here. We can do that even in our study time with someone. You know, we might have a best friend we go to the coffee shop with, and we can worship there too. Worship is talking about the Lord and enjoying his presence and enjoying what he's doing in our lives and just celebrating who he is. Worship is something we need to do. We're called, we're created to worship. And we'll worship something, we need to make sure that it's the Lord. Do that. Worship him. The third thing is this: guidance. We can't have guidance unless we have somebody else, unless you're guiding yourself, and that's like the blind leading the blind. We need guidance. The Bible speaks of that, that the wise man seeks out godly counsel, people around him who can give him advice and wisdom and direction, guidance from the Lord, guidance from other people. We need that small group. We need that church home to come to stop by and say, hey, I'm struggling with this or that. What should I do? And people do that with Roger and Ryan and I. They'll stop by and they'll say, hey, I got this issue going on. What should I do? And that's a scriptural thing to do. It's not that we have all the answers, but collectively the Lord will give us wisdom when we seek that out through our brothers and sisters in Christ. Guidance. We all need guidance. Don't make a decision all on your own. If you're struggling at all with the choice on what you ought to do, seek out guidance. Of course, do the internal things, the meditation, the prayer, the Bible study. Do all those things, but also seek out wisdom and guidance from those around you. Fellowship. Fellowship's a little different because fellowship doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual, if you will. But we need to be around the other brothers and sisters in Christ because we have a like-mindedness. We have a common core belief system. We have the same Lord and Savior and the same one we're trying to serve and honor with our lives. Fellowship is could be anything from riding motorcycles together to having lunch together to going to a South Bend baseball game together to whatever that might be. It's getting together with the body of Christ and doing life. Because life can be really hard and life can be really crazy and life can be really painful. And we need one another to do life with. And that's all fellowship. It's a big word for doing life together. You do that with your spouse. You do that with your children. You do that with your parents. You do that with your friends. Do that with the church. Do that with the Lord. Fellowship, we all need that. We weren't created to be individuals. We were created to be the body of Christ. And celebration, we don't do this enough. We don't pause and celebrate and rejoice at milestones and things like that. And yet we're told in God's word to do that. When one part suffers, every part suffers. And when one part rejoices, we all rejoice. There should be great celebrating when, you know, someone new comes to the Lord or someone gets baptized like we got to experience last week. Was that not cool, watching two young men who serve our country as we celebrate the 4th of July and the freedoms we have go under the water and submit and acknowledge their faith and their dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ? When we celebrate things like that, it gives us renewed strength. It gives us renewed vigor and zeal for our walk because it's easy to get tired. It's easy to grow weary. It's easy to get discouraged. And we need those things to celebrate, to bring us energy. It's like on the golf course. You might hit 50 bad shots, but when you hit that one good one, that's what keeps you coming back. It's a good thing. And we need that in life as well. Celebrate those victories, albeit they might be few and far between or small. We got to recognize them and celebrate together. The Lord is worth celebrating. And when someone grows in him, takes a step in him, it is worth celebrating. When a Christian marriage reaches 50 years and they're celebrating that or 25 years or whatever, we celebrate that. That is a really cool thing. The point being this. Spiritual fitness requires discipline and accountability. That's why these last five exercises are with others. We can't do them on our own because we don't have accountability and we don't have discipline on our own. When we do it with other people, we find discipline. You see, I know when you're not here, and you know when I'm not here, right? There's accountability. I don't know what you're doing at home, but I know what you do here, and you know what I do here. And we worship, and we hear the word of God, and we sing songs together, and we pray, and we take communion, and we do all these things that honor the Lord. There's discipline and accountability. And if you'd ask somebody in regards to physical fitness, what the two greatest things are probably to stay physically fit, it would be discipline to go to the gym, discipline to eat the right food, discipline to get the right rest, and it would be accountability. They often have a workout partner. They often have a running partner because that person calls them and says, get up, we're going, you know, where are you at? You know, accountability and discipline are required to be spiritually fit as well. In other words, you and I need one another. So I don't know where you're at in the spiritual fitness thing. I know that there's apps for that, and I know those apps are right in God's word. I know those apps are right in the body of Christ. But spiritual fitness will only come with spiritual renewal. you have to pause and you have to ask yourselves, am I walking with the Lord? Am I following his will and his word? And if not, Lord, cleanse me from those things so that I might have a renewal, like Pastor Ryan said, of my heart, of my innermost being. I need that renewal in order to be spiritually fit. And then I need people around me who are trying to do the same thing, to hold me accountable, to help discipline me to get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, your patience with us. We thank you, Lord, for, God, your word and how clear it is on physical fitness being certainly important, but spiritual fitness being even more important. Father, our physical fitness might buy us a few more years. It might allow us to feel a little bit better each day, but our spiritual fitness will help us get through incredibly difficult things in our lives. The loss of a loved one, going through divorce, the loss of a job, all these things. Lord, spiritual fitness gets us through these things because we have a dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a fellowship of believers, a body who comes alongside us and loves us through those things. Father, that's how we stay spiritually fit. And it's not just helpful now in this life with whatever we face. It's helpful in the life to come because we were created as spiritual beings. We were created to worship you. We were created not for this place, but to spend eternity with you. So, Father, help us to be concerned about our physical fitness, to work on that, Lord, to honor you. But more importantly, Lord, may our spiritual fitness be good. And may it be good because we love you and we've implemented these disciplines, Lord, into our life. The inward ones, the external ones, and the one another ones. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.